Welcome back to Timeout Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. Joining us now on Timeout Radio is the Kings radio announcer, Gary Gerald, also known as the G-Man. He's been broadcasting Kings basketball on the radio for now 38 years and joins us now. So, G-Man, welcome to Timeout Radio today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. It's been a couple of years since we last chatted.
So yeah.
You're growing up. You're moving right along. And how's your aspiring broadcast career coming along?
Yeah, it's going pretty well. I mean, the last time that we chatted was in around the spring of 2021. And to give a little bit of context, Davion Mitchell had just won his national championship at Baylor. Tyrese Haliburton was in his rookie season. And man, things have now changed. Davion Mitchell just completed his second year with the Kings as the backup point guard. And Tyrese Haliburton is no longer with the Kings, but we can sit down and have that conversation of if it's for the better. So let's actually start right there. About a year ago, the Kings made a trade that people, you know, said towards the Kings that was not a very good trade. They traded Tyrese Haliburton, Buddy Hield, Tristan Thompson, essentially for Domantas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, I believe, and Justin Holiday. Let's talk about that. I mean, because Sabonis has now finished his first full season with the Kings, and he picked up another All-Star appearance. Tyrese Haliburton had a great year with Indiana, but let's start with, man, Sabonis. He's had a huge impact for sure with the Kings, right?
Well, there's no question. He's had a tremendous impact. I think it's exactly what Monty McNair, the general manager of the Kings and front office organization, had anticipated. It was difficult at the time of the transaction because Tyrese Haliburton in particular was so beloved as a young upcoming player in the NBA by Kings fans. But we all know, and you look back over the years, if you're going to get something of substance, you've got to give up something of substance. You know, it's great to look back and say, well, here's what we anticipated or how it changed, whatever. Hindsight's 20/20, as the old saying goes. But it's a transaction that worked out wonderfully well, I think, for both organizations. And it's not often that you can say that it's a win-win situation. But when you were getting, at that time, a two-time All-Star in Sabonis at age 25, filling a void that the Kings desperately needed to fill, it made so much sense as far as I was concerned. And while I knew that I was going to miss Tyrese because he's just such a charismatic young individual and full of so much fun, as well as being a terrific basketball player, I think it was a deal that had to be made because trying to see Tyrese and his style of basketball playing alongside De'Aaron Fox and his style of basketball, I don't know that it would have worked out very well. Again, it's hindsight, so who knows? But from the Kings' standpoint, no question to me, this, I think, worked out extraordinarily well. And going forward, it bodes really good fortune, in my mind, for the Sacramento Kings and their entire organization.
Yeah, Monty McNair has done an outstanding job so far since he's taken over as GM. I mean, all he's done since he's taken over is drafted Tyrese Haliburton, Davion Mitchell, and Keegan Murray and done some great things in the offseason. Let's focus in a little bit on this past offseason, the key additions. Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk. What's kind of overshadowed with the Sabonis trade was, you know, with Justin Holiday coming in and Jeremy Lamb. I mean, after last season, the Kings were able to send Justin Holiday and I believe some picks over to acquire Kevin Huerter. So that was part of it too. And then in free agency, the Kings snagged from the Lakers Malik Monk. How much of an impact have those guys, Kevin Huerter, who was the starting shooting guard, and Malik Monk, who's one of the top six men in the league this year, how much of an impact have they had, in your opinion, on the Kings finally breaking the 17-year playoff drought?
Well, there are many, many factors that go into breaking a long drought like that. But you have to start with the depth of the roster. And going into training camp late last September with the acquisition of Kevin Huerter and with the acquisition of Malik Monk, you're saying, okay, this team appears to be deeper than any team that we've seen in recent years wearing Kings uniforms. My perception of Kevin Huerter changed dramatically because I think so many others, saw him as basically a deep perimeter scoring threat, and that was it. But there's so much more to his game, as we quickly learned. And he had a great rapport with Sabonis, two-man combinations that produced a lot of opportunities for both guys to score either around the rim for Sabonis or diving to the basket by Huerter, as well as his spot-up capability on the deep perimeter. As for Malik Monk, we knew that he was a bit streaky. He could be explosive. And as it turns out, it was absolutely something that the Kings really needed. You talk about an energizer coming off the bench, and I'm frequently asked, are there similarities from what you've seen over the last season compared to the 8 years under Rick Adelman back in the early 2000s? And Bobby Jackson filled a tremendous role, was in fact the NBA sixth man of the year one season. I'm seeing Malik Monk in a similar type of capacity because he brings scoring punch into the game immediately. He brings a spark that's almost contagious. And, you know, you look at some of the different contributions, none more memorable than that double overtime 176-175 win over the LA Clippers in LA when Malik went for 45 points. And he hit the buzzer-beating three that forced the overtime session and then helped the Kings from six-point deficits in both of those overtime periods to get a win in arguably one of the most memorable games ever played in NBA history. So back to your original question, I think the acquisition of those two has had a huge impact on the success of the Kings this season. It's not just a couple of guys. We all know it takes a lot of different elements. And the fact that Monty had the vision to see how those guys could fit in Sacramento, that Coach Mike Brown had an offensive system that is tailor-made for those guys and their skills, good combinations all the way around.
For our listeners who don't know, the Sacramento Kings this past year just broke the 17-year playoff drought. That was the longest drought in American sports. And the last time the Kings made the playoffs was the year I was born. So this was the first time that they made the playoffs in my lifetime.
And perspective right there.
Yeah, I know. And so it's crazy that at least I can get that off of my back, that I've experienced Kings playoff basketball in my lifetime. So just what does this mean that the Kings getting back into the postseason? We see it in the Kings community. How much does this mean to the Sacramento area?
Well, clearly, in my mind, it was revitalization. That's the word that I've fallen back on multiple times. It was revitalizing for me personally as a broadcaster. It was revitalizing for everybody in the Kings organization. You go through that stretch when you're out there in the wilderness wandering and wondering if you're ever going to find an oasis and if you're ever going to be able to cash in and get back to the playoff basketball. It was revitalization for the fan base. I mean, the fan base we've talked about frequently over the years has been truly remarkable. But there comes a point when you've been beaten down so many times and you've had so many coaching changes on the coaching merry-go-round, and you're wondering, when is it going to stop? When are we going to find stability? When are we going to have success again? Well, when you look at what has transpired over the last 10 months, almost 11 months, from the time that Mike Brown was named as the new head coach of the Kings, they won 48 games, which was 18 more than they won last year. You win a Pacific Division championship for only the third time in 38 years. In a year when all teams in the Pacific Division made the playoffs in the Western Conference, that was extraordinary unto itself. Then you look at the All-Star recognition for Sabonis a third time, Fox for a first time, rebounding title for Sabonis. You look at the contributions, Fox getting the Clutch Player of the Year award, Monty McNair, Executive of the Year, Mike Brown, the first coach in NBA history to be unanimously voted as Coach of the Year. And then you add Keegan Murray with the all-time rookie record for threes made in a rookie season. His recognition, first team all-rookie NBA, and then third team all-NBA recognition for Sabonis and Fox. I mean, so many things have happened in such a short period of time. You kind of say, pinch me. You know, is this real? Am I dreaming? It was an extraordinary season from that standpoint alone. So many things that revitalized a fan base, that revitalized everybody in the organization. So it's been huge for the community. And I love the fact that even now, a couple of weeks after the Kings were eliminated, and of course, when you're eliminated, it's so abrupt and it's painful. And yes, it would have been so great to win Game 7 against the Warriors. But the reality is there's only one team out of the 30 that's going to be happy come the middle of June. Everybody else is going to find that same sudden ending. So it's been terrific that no matter where you go, if you're on the golf course, if you're at the grocery store, you go to the bank, you go to the service station, whatever it is, people have been sparked. They want to talk Kings basketball once again. And I love it. And I joke that I used to be 6'4". And after all these years of losing, they beat me down to 5'8". I'm on a growth spurt again. Maybe I'll get back. Thanks to the Kings.
For sure. So the Kings definitely had exceeded everyone's expectations coming into the season. You know, they finished the season with 48 wins. And I remember at the beginning of the season seeing like the odds for the Kings to make the playoffs and the over-unders for wins was somewhere around like 29, 30 and stuff like that. It was crazy. And I remember, you know, talking to Carmichael Dave at the beginning of the season, like essentially a season preview. And what everyone was saying was that, you know, the Kings getting into the play-in sort of was what the realistic approach was going to be. Nobody expected the Kings to win the Pacific Division, finish third in the Western Conference that features so many players, and back to the Pacific Division title in a division that consists of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. I mean, I could go on and on. That is a completely stacked division. And you look at the standings and the Kings finished number one in that division. I mean, that's just crazy in itself. What does that mean going into next season, the expectations?
Obviously, when you have success, expectations are heightened. And there's no question about that. What is realistic? You have to consider the facts. The Kings were extraordinarily fortunate being in good health. They had minimal number of injuries that impacted the roster and their season. You have to have a certain degree of good fortune and good health if you're going to contend for a championship. That's the ultimate goal of Monty McNair, for Mike Brown and the entire staff. So you look at next year and you say, okay, the thing that is most encouraging to me, and I know there are going to be tweaks in the roster. There always are. We don't know about, you know, a veteran like Harrison Barnes, whose contract is up, if in fact he will still be part of the organization. He wants to be. He's said that publicly. Trey Lyles, can he be a part of whatever goes on in the future? What will Monty come up with? I know a lot of attention is being paid right now, and I've had conversations with the general managers and the assistant, Wes Wilcox, about Sasha Vyshenkov, who is playing for Olympiakos in Greece right now and is the MVP of the Greek League and may end up being the MVP of the Euro Cup competition. The door has been opened so that the Kings have a way that they can bring him, if he wants to the NBA this offseason. That would be tremendously exciting in my mind. So there are going to be tweaks. Expectations will be higher. Yes, we know the competition is going to continue to be tough. But remember, this core group, all in their mid-20s, basically. So to me, that means it bodes well for the future. And I'm so happy that we've moved away from that, you know, the long stretch that you talked about, the longest in all professional sports in North America, to getting into a playoff situation. Now, can you sustain it? Can you do it on a regular basis? Can you go deeper? And I've said a couple of different times in talking with folks, you have to remember, those 8 years under Rick Adelman, yes, the Kings were in the playoffs all 8 years, but it wasn't until the third year that they got out of the first round and were able to advance. It's a process, and you have to learn from it. And so many of these guys with very limited, if any, playoff experience have now had a dramatic seven-game experience against Golden State that went right down to the wire and determining who would continue to advance. So I think there are a lot of positives. Well, and I really believe that, and I'm excited that there are those possibilities and potentials for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely the Kings are only going to get better as they are a very young team. So let's talk about Mike Brown. As you mentioned, the first unanimous coach of the year. And he comes into this offseason, and it's interesting because, you know, we didn't know what to expect out of him. Obviously, he came from a winning culture out in Golden State, has some success with coaching, but just talk about how he helped with this turnaround in his first year as the coach of the Sacramento Kings, breaking the playoff drought. Just speak to what Mike has done for the Kings.
Well, when he was named the head coach, I'm thinking, okay, he's had, you know, experience as a head coach in Cleveland where they had success. He had head coaching experience in LA, and he had, even though he was an associate head coach in Golden State with Steve Kerr, when Kerr had the back injury problem much of the season, where Mike Brown was the interim and acting head coach. So you look at his years of coaching experience and you look at some of the players, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you're thinking, this is good. And I did not know Mike Brown personally and did not know him well when he was named head coach of the Kings. So I'm wondering about a lot of different things. But I know that everybody that I talked to, they raved about his work ethic and his preparation. And I go back to the very first introductory news conference in Sacramento. There were several players. There were members of the Kings front office, as well as the assembled media at Golden One Center when Mike, a couple of days after the Warriors had won their most recent championship, came in. And among his observations that really stuck with me from that day forward, he said, every organization has to have a soul. And he basically said, Sacramento doesn't have a soul that I can see. And it's got to be more than the coaches and the players, the medical staff. It's got to be everybody in the front office. It's got to be the people who market the team, who sell the tickets, the concessionaires, the ushers, one thing or another. Everybody has to pull on the same rope, and you create a soul. He talked about defining roles. He talked about the demand for accountability. And I've told the story frequently about De'Aaron Fox was one of the players that was there, and he's standing leaning up against the wall. And Mike Brown says, you know, Foxy over here, we go back to his high school days in Texas, and we were involved in a couple of coaching clinics and one thing or another. And I saw how explosive he can be. And we know about his quickness on the offensive end, but we need him to become somebody that we lean on for outstanding defense as well as offense. He basically challenged De'Aaron Fox the first day he's in Sacramento in a public gathering. And Fox is over there and he kind of rolls his eyes and nods his head like, okay, I got the message, coach. And we now have since found out how hard De'Aaron worked throughout the offseason. And the fact that one of the assistant coaches virtually spent, you know, his summer with De'Aaron, which included De'Aaron getting married in Southern California, honeymooning in Europe, where they found a gym for him to get up shots and to continue his workout. Luke Louts coming from the Warriors organization along with Mike Brown. He was the constant companion, friend, shadow, whatever you want to call him, to De'Aaron Fox. Well, it's paid a remarkable dividend, and Fox has taken the challenge. And Mike Brown frequently talks about how one of the luxuries he's had as a head coach in Sacramento is that the players have allowed him to coach them hard. And to me, that says volumes about the chemistry in the organization, the willingness of the players and the coaching staff to be on the same page, to pull together on that same rope, and to make significant inroads. And they have done exactly that. And the credit, in my mind, starts with Mike Brown.
Yeah, let's go a little bit more into the analysis of some players who had a huge impact in helping break the playoff drought. We talked about Domas Sabonis, and now let's talk about De'Aaron Fox, the other All-Star and the other All-NBA third team member. He just continues to grow every year and do things that we did not know he was capable of doing. This year, with a full season with Sabonis, those two as a duo have done an outstanding job together. Just speak to Fox's growth to now, you know, being essentially one of the leaders of the Kings.
Well, he's a core guy. He's now, I think this was his sixth year that he just completed. And the big step that he took in my mind was he met that defensive challenge from Coach Brown and the coaching staff. And he became so much of a focus point in setting a defensive tone, particularly coming down the stretch of the season when every game seemingly gets a little bit more magnified because of its importance in trying to get a division championship, trying to get a home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. De'Aaron also became a father for the first time. He has great support group, his wife and immediate family. They're terrific people, and they know basketball. His wife knows the game inside out. She's played the game. All of those things come together, and his focus, his work ethic, his performance on the floor, it was a big step this year for De'Aaron. And now that he's gotten some All-Star recognition, now that he's gotten third team All-NBA recognition, it backs up what was so interesting to me. I would hear from people that I know on other sides of the country during that playoff series for the Warriors. And it was a coming out party for De'Aaron Fox. And I had on multiple occasions people saying, I had no idea that De'Aaron Fox was this good. Well, yes, now people are starting to find out. You're getting the recognition. And I think one of the byproducts of some success this season, clearly in my mind, I think you'll see the Kings not only deserving, but getting significantly more nationally televised games so that the exploits and the skills of a Sabonis and a Fox and a Keegan Murray, et cetera, can be seen by others around the country.
Yeah, I mean, another person who has had another impact, Keegan Murray. I mean, obviously, this was his rookie season, and all he does is break the rookie regular season three-point record. And I mean, let's be honest, many of us coming out of the draft, like, I will admit that I wanted Jaden Ivey, as that was, you know, a big topic of who the Kings would pick. You know, it was somewhere around Ivey or Murray. And when the pick was made that it was Keegan Murray, I was like, okay, I can work with this, right? The Kings also now have a full starting lineup. And I did not know what to expect out of Keegan Murray because he seemed more of someone, you know, to work in the low post sort of when I saw some of his games in college. And so this was completely new to me, seeing that his first month or so of the season, just, you know, shooting so many threes, and he had an outstanding rookie season. Did you know this about Keegan Murray, that he was a sharpshooter, and how much this meant to the Kings?
I don't get a chance to follow the college game real closely because of the work that has to be done in relating to our broadcast in one thing or another. But there were a couple of friends of mine whose opinions I respect very highly, who were insistent that Keegan Murray would be an absolutely perfect fit for the Sacramento Kings. And based on what they were telling me, I was rooting big time, and I was concerned. I was afraid the Kings might tip and go in the direction of Jaden Ivey. And I didn't want that to happen, whereas you were on the other side of that that boat at that particular time. But I heard a couple of things that told me the organization was really serious in targeting Keegan, because when he came in for his workout, they made sure that he had an opportunity to have, it was either lunch with Fox and dinner with Sabonis or the other way around. And that's on a very, very busy day. So that immediately, when I learned that, that told me the Kings have got more than a casual interest in this man. And I was excited when they drafted him, and I've loved the way his rookie season has progressed. We joke about his demeanor because he's so stoic and he shows very little emotion. But when you're on the road, when you're around him, the smiles are there. He really enjoys his teammates in the company. And he, too, has allowed Coach Brown to coach him hard. And I love the way it's blossomed. It wasn't just the three-point shooting. Particularly over the last couple of months of the season, the Kings coaching staff just constantly bantering and badgering him to be more aggressive. And an aggressive Keegan Murray we've seen on a handful of times attacking the rim. Well, now that he's got a year under his belt, now that he's got seven games of playoff experience, invaluable for a young man's growth in the NBA game. I can see him, he can be a 20-point scorer in my mind. I don't want to say too easily, but yes, easily. I mean, he's got the skills. He can be a 20-point per night scorer in the NBA. Give him a couple of years down the road. So I'm excited from what we have seen. I'm excited for what the future holds. I mean, as you can see, I'm optimistic and a lot of fronts for the Sacramento Kings. And Keegan Murray is one of those that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, the future is certainly bright for Keegan and the Kings. Let's talk a little bit about the series that just finished now that the Kings season is over. Obviously disappointing that they lost to the Warriors in the first round. They had home court advantage. But, you know, the Warriors, the reigning champs, there are some disappointing parts. The fact that the Kings had a 2-0 series lead in the series, and that leaves a little bit of a bitter taste, and that they let the Warriors steal two games at Golden 1 Center. But on the optimistic side, you know, the Kings, the core is still going to be here, and they took the reigning champs to seven games. So what's your take on the Warriors series?
Well, it only took 38 years for these two teams to be good at the same time in the same season, which is pretty amazing. And, you know, people within the organizations for both Golden State and for Sacramento, we've joked often about, boy, can you imagine the day when these two teams face each other in a playoff series? And this sure worked out for the first time, and it was really entertaining. And yes, there's disappointment when it comes to an abrupt end, but you can never underestimate the championship pedigree. A core group that had won four championships, have been to the playoffs, eight in the last 9 years or something like that. And they know what it takes. They've been in virtually every scenario, and some of the things that they've accomplished almost defy belief. So there was concern, certainly on my part. And yeah, it was great. You get out and you win the first two games, but then you know it's going to be awful tough to win on their home floor. So the season is series. You come home and you lose game five, then you go down there and you win game six on their floor, which I thought was a tremendous accomplishment as far as the Kings are concerned. And then the disappointment of losing game seven. But again, it's invaluable experience. It's part of a journey. You have to take those steps. You have to learn what it's like. It's not just somebody telling you what it's like. It's experiencing what it's like. So the Kings are now a big step ahead in that department alone, in my mind. The atmosphere was totally off the charts. It was so loud a couple of different times. I'd even take my headset, pop off the ears just to see how loud it was, and then quickly put it back on because it was just, it was, the decibel level was incredibly high. So good fun, and hopefully there'll be a whole lot more of that in years to come for the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, what a season this was for the Kings. But now let's look ahead to this offseason and the necessary adjustments that the Kings need to do next season, obviously, because they're only going to get better from here on out. Free agents, some notable free agents, obviously, Harrison Barnes, Trey Lyles, Terrence Davis of the notable ones. And obviously, as you mentioned earlier, a very intriguing prospect from the Greek basketball league, Sasha Vezenkov. What's your thoughts about, you know, should they bring Sasha from the Greek league? I think he's could be very intriguing prospect and a could be a good rotational piece for the Kings. And which free agents that do you want to see the Kings bring back?
Well, starting with Vezenkov, I definitely want to see him in a Kings uniform. I think that would be intriguing, and it could be potentially exciting and becoming a nice rotational role player. Clearly, in my mind, and it was exposed against the Warriors, you've got to have rebounding help for Sabonis. Rebounding was a big challenge for the Kings all season long. And what Kevon Looney did for Golden State was beyond extraordinary in those seven games. And I don't know that you can totally counter that, but the Kings must do a better job in that respect. And I think that's an area that certainly will be high on the list of areas being addressed by Monty McNair in the offseason. What happens in terms of what it takes to make deals, to bring talent, if it's free agent talent? Monk has got another year on his contract. I'm happy with that. I think that Terrence Davis, as streaky as he was, there are different times, and he's young, and there's room for growth there. Harrison Barnes brings a steadying influence that you can't put a price tag on. And Mike Brown has talked numerous times about how important he is in the locker room, the tone that he sets. Players learn from Harrison. And he's not only an 11-year veteran who knows the ropes inside and out, but he knows what it takes to, once you start to make the progress, to keep on that path, to maintain the focus. So I'm intrigued to see what happens along those lines. You know, Trey Lyles, I think that value for the buck, man, he rang the bell on numerous occasions for the Kings. And there's a lot to like, and there's a lot of intrigue wondering what will take place in the future. I'm not clairvoyant. I don't have any of the answers. Thank goodness I don't have to wrestle with these on a daily basis like Monty and Wes and coaching staff. But I'm excited to see what transpires. And we started out talking about revitalization. For me as a broadcaster, for the fans, for everybody in the organization, it's been such a treat this year. Here's hoping that next year will be even more exciting than this year has been.
Yeah, well, that's just about all the time we have, G-Man. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining me on Time Out Radio today. And it will be definitely interesting to see how the Kings perform next season. And it's all up from here. So go Kings.
Go Kings indeed. Thanks, Rohan. Appreciate you.
All right, that's Gary Gerald, who is the radio voice for the Sacramento Kings. All right, let's call a timeout for Time Out Radio. This was your host, Rohan Bakshi. You're listening to Cater 95.7 FM, where the grassroots grow. Have a great day, everyone.